So welcome to this monthly review call of the Masters. Today we've got a special guest. Today it's Patrick from the Netherlands who's joining in a couple of minutes. So Patrick is an energy healer. I got to know him about 10 years ago when I attended a vortex healing workshop in the Netherlands. So Patrick's sitting in the Netherlands. He's doing healing work with people who don't need to, they don't have to attend the workshop before. He's doing healing work on long distance. It doesn't really matter, right? He just focuses on your energy field. And he can actually, I mean, if you, we'll see what, if he can offer anything or, I mean, he offers packages of, I think, 5 hours. And when he, let's just assume, because some of you will try it out, right? So if you do the first session with him, well, you don't tell him anything what your problems are. He's just looking into your energy field. And once the hour is gone, well, you might want to lie on your sofa, right, for an hour. And once the hour is gone, well, he will write you an email and he will tell you, hey, you have got this and you might surely have this experience in your life coming up over and over again. So this is a great confirmation, right, that he actually is assumed into your energy field. And the interesting stuff with vortex healing is I recommended you the book, right? That's a book that I really, really enjoyed a lot. That's what I recommended you to read, right, if you want to get prepared for this call. So this is written by the founder, Rick Weinman. He's an American. And this book is quite amazing. I mean, it opens the space that we are beings on a multidimensional level. And maybe, I don't know, Patrick might talk a little bit about that. It can really get complex, right? But there are so many levels, right, in the human body. It's quite incredible. And when we talk about limiting beliefs or karmic stuff, when this can be on different levels, right? And my experience is when it is on a deeper level, well, it's a bit difficult to take it off by your own, right? And well, Patrick can zoom into this multi-level field. You can actually find out, okay, where is it, this issue you might have, and how you can actually pull it out or dissolve it. Well, let's give the stage to Patrick. Hi, Patrick. How are you doing?
Good to see you. Good to see you, everyone. Well, let's see. We're like 17 people. Let me give you a quick introduction of myself. I don't know what Gabriel's told you already. I worked as an awareness facilitator and energy healer for nearly 20 years now. And I was surprised to see that Gabriel and I already know each other for 10 of those. I didn't know that. And after I graduated from university I did organizational science, I realized that was not what I wanted to do. So I walked into the unemployment agency and I said, you know, I will not get a job as a regular suit and tie situation. So you'll have to give me other options. And so what are you thinking of? And I said, you know, I want to work as a chef, you know, like cook food. And so they got me a quick training program for that. And I worked for years. I worked as a chef. While I was doing that, I deepened my fascination for, like what Gabriel said in this quick introduction, like the multi-dimensional, multifaceted way that consciousness is organized individually, but also collectively. Like I was very fascinated by how creation works. And so working as a chef and having this energy stuff as my hobby, that started to turn around. So the energy work became my work. And cooking became a hobby. So where you're meeting me now, where we are meeting, it's 6 p.m. here. I just had a work day. I had a full day of sessions, but not in my own practice. I work in different towns in Holland. And this energy work, it has the modality has a name. It's called vortex healing. it also works 100% from a distance. That's why Gabriel and I think we did meet in this one training, this vortex healing training 10 years ago, but we've been working distance-wise ever since, very effectively. So maybe I can tell you, first I can tell you a little bit more about that book and that the founder of Vortex Healing. Vortex Healing is a commercial package, but it's actually tapping into an ancient lineage. A lineage is a tradition of people who, over the course of history, been able to tap into that, you could say, universal power, but really that's not deep enough. It's a divine power, which is behind creation. So it's like looking out, it's looking from outside of the bubble of creation into creation. It's like you can be aware of everything inside of creation. Now, I thought of a specific angle to explain things from, but before I do that, because I heard Gabriel mention some things. We were talking about karmic charges, and so I'd like to answer that a little bit more specifically. What is karma? Karma is basically it's unresolved residue of experience that you haven't fully digested. If you haven't fully processed an event, that will leave a residue. It's like a car that has a scratch. It's that type of thing. But then if you're the driver and you're inside the car and you feel that you have to keep moving, you can't very well get out and fix the scratch on the car. You might not even see the scratch on the car. You know, so karma is unresolved residue. Now, there's two levels to that. Basically, two categories of karma. One is incarnational karma, which works from the presumption, the assumption, or the knowledge that you are not just living this life. And the things you are thinking and the things you are feeling, the things you are experiencing are not accidents. They are actually another chapter in a story that has many, many, many previous lifetimes before this one. And not just human lifetimes, and not just on this planet, but also lifetimes as a different being, lifetimes on different planets. Doesn't really matter. We don't want to go too far out there. But the idea is that you have many, 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 like 10,000s of lifetimes before this one. And in all of those lifetimes, starting from the level of bacteria, in all of those lifetimes, there have been traumatic deaths, traumatic experience. There have been situations that have been partly, at least partly, unresolved. What's not been resolved goes into your backpack, you take it with you, and it's right here in your field of consciousness right now. It's part of who you think you are. Because it's always been in your field since you've been conscious of yourself in this lifetime. So you really don't know any better. So that's one thread, one aspect of karmic conditioning, all the stuff that's been unresolved from your previous lifetimes and your lifetime, your present lifetime as well, obviously. The other aspect is the ancestral aspect or genetic. You come from a long line of people who have always accepted the assumption that they are individual, personal, separated human beings that need to survive and that are alone in this world. These are two basic presumptions that all human beings have, that we need to survive, or we are alone in this world. So there's a lot of lack, neediness, struggle, codependency, loneliness, all that stuff is like a core human karmic position. Now, together with survival, that puts a lot of struggle in your life. So there's a genetic thread and there's an incarnational thread, like the born, reborn again and again thread. And these two, they sort of mix. The genetic thread is very much manifested in your body mind, in your physical consciousness, like it's this, and then it's like the vehicle, and then the incarnational, it's like the spirit or the mind comes into that, which is like the driver of the vehicle, and the two sort of communicate, and they form a gestalt, like a sort of apparently logical construct of personality. But if you look at that closely enough, it's just bits, just fragments. It's just positions, and it's just patterns. It's just beliefs. Now, in the vortex healing, what I really like about this is it's like scientific spirituality. We've developed like a map, a navigational map of the multi-leveled, multi-dimensional, multi-aspects of how this consciousness is constructed, you know. So maybe my organizational science studies weren't for nothing, because this is also like an organization of consciousness. How is creation structured? How is my consciousness, which is my creation, how is that structured? And it's not my creation in the sense that I've created it, but it is my creation because I identify with it. I've woken up in this body for about 53 years now. So I feel like it's me. I look in the mirror, I point at it, and I say, hey, look, there's me. And I have these states of mind, like these threads of consciousness, these ways of thinking and feeling that I identify as being mine, me, myself, I, which is at the center of my self-organization. But all of this, as I just tried to explain, is just the end product, is like the result of unresolved karmic and genetic living, like my previous lifetimes and my ancestors, and all of that just piles up, and that's how I perceive myself. That's my self-image. Now, what I really wanted to go into is because, you know, I think that what you would like to hear about is that, what is success? Like, how do I get success in my endeavors? How do I not necessarily become wealthy, but how do I create success in my life on many levels and aspects? Like maybe in my love life, maybe in my health, maybe in my, the usual aspects of life. In my sense of happiness, which is another one, maybe more personal. So how do I create success? Now, from the point of view of vortex healing, all of life is one. So there's a very clear fundamental sense of oneness, which is like the it's the foundation of creation. It comes from the one divinity creating a whole universe. So everything that the universe is made of is bought in the same store. It all comes from the same divinity. So basically, it's oneness. On some very deep core level, that means all of life is one. You could see this clearly in nature. You know, like in a forest, everything sort of depends on each other, like coexistence. But that also applies to human beings. We cannot just live our lives the way we cannot just pretend that the war in Ukraine isn't happening. It somehow affects all of us. Like it's right there in the field. The same with the pandemic, you know, the COVID stuff. It's in the field, it's in your consciousness. So as you, as a personal, apparently individual, separate human being, are also a part of this vital web of life, which includes and encompasses like the oneness of life, all of creation. So that goes for everything. So the flow of life, the wholeness of life, the fullness of life, the oneness of it is really the root. It's the foundation for success. It's not your karma conditioning that makes you like susceptible to be successful. It's not your genetic conditioning that will help you to be successful. It's connecting to that truth of oneness of life, which can bring, which almost it's the other way around. I can't really say that it will help you to create success, but it will create an openness for success to come to you. On the level where you think you have free will actually has you. On the level where you think that you can create success, success either comes to you or it doesn't. So it's like the apple hanging on a tree, you know, which is ripened by nutrients coming through the roots of the tree, the sun shining on it. The apple is being ripened by nature. There's no free will in the apple deciding, hey, you know, I think I'm ripe enough. I think I'll just fall from the tree now. So it doesn't work that way. You as an apparent individual, separate, apparently separate human being, do not, because you're apparently separate, but you're not really separate because you're just an expression of the oneness of life. You as an apparently individual, apparent separate human being, do not decide where life is taking you. It's, you know, so creation has its own ways, it has its own nature laws, you could say. And those nature laws on a human level, what applies to us? Well, it's that karmic stuff, what I told you about. If anything is unresolved, it just goes in the backpack and we just save it for the next round. Like the next chapter of your story, of your soul's story. And the next chapter is this lifetime. Now, so what we want is to be happy and healthy and successful. But to be able to do that, we basically have to thin out all the karmic conditioning that we identify with. We have to thin out the genetic conditioning that we identify with. How does that work? If the apple cannot ripen itself, then how can we possibly like clear our own conditioning that we identify with? Doesn't work. You cannot clear your own conditioning. You need to come from this place which is not personal but impersonal. You need to come from that place where you're not trapped in your identification with your karmic or genetic conditioning. Basically, you need to come from divinity. So when I work with this vortex healing, what I do, you know, just looking at the treatment table where I had some sessions today, what I do, I basically just sort of allow the divine to, you know, like the divine is, you know, let me just mention that as well. The divine is like this root of creation. It's like the mystery everything arose from. It's not a man on a cloud with a long white beard. The divine is not an entity. It's not even a group of entities. It's nothing like that. It's not an object. It's not a someone. It's not a something. It's mystery. So it's that undefinable something, by, you know, lack of better words, is that undefinable something which is at the root of everything. So everything comes from nothing, which is everything, because what else can it be? So divinity is a difficult term, but I'm going to use that word anyway. So to clear the conditioning, which is for me is in the way of happiness, health, success, like healthy social life, etc., etc., to clear the conditioning, it's almost like I have to get out of the way and allow the divine to do like the ripening, like the nurturing of the apple so the apple can ripen. This vortex healing, it's set up in multiple levels of training. And through these trainings, I've been able to deepen my awareness. That's what I said. I'm an awareness facilitator. And I've been able to deepen like the tools that I have in my toolbox, my energy work tools. These tools, they work at all the dimensional levels of creation. Because you as a human being, including your higher self, including your levels of soul consciousness, including your astral self, including your nature aspects, including your higher dimensional, it doesn't matter, you know, like all the different bits and bobs that we call you, you are really a multidimensional construct of consciousness. You also appear as this human form. really the way you cannot describe your intuition, the way you cannot really, although a thought and a feeling are somehow objects in consciousness, you can't see them. Now there's much more to you that you cannot see that you can realize. Partly you cannot see it because you only identify with the surface layer of it. This multidimensional model that we have, working from the divine, it allows us to really get to the different obstructing beliefs, the different patterns and positions that create the shape of you, you could say. And the shape of you is this human being identifying itself with a karmic and genetic aspect, trying to survive and trying to avoid all lack. And it's very needy and it's codependent and it's very insecure. Now, we all have the same stuff. We all have the same stuff. You know, some of us wear it better than others, but as we are all one life, and, you know, like what I said, the pandemic affects all of us, the Ukraine war affects all of us have the same stuff in, you know, a certain degree. I cannot even see your loneliness if I don't know loneliness. I don't even see your lack if I wouldn't know what lack is. You know, so we're all on the same path, and the path really is not the path to learning something, to accumulating, to make better versions of ourselves, because we've already molded ourselves into these artificial shapes, really created by our karmic and genetic condition. Now, really, the path is to sort of unlearn instead of learn. The path is to sort of surrender, ripen, and let go into an opening which can be really like taken over by, you could say, you know, your true self, which is an impersonal sense of self without boundary, which is divinity. If you unravel your shape, if you unravel your consciousness and you go deep enough, you go from personal to impersonal. You go from impersonal to mystery. You go from consciousness to awareness. You keep deepening, deepening, to the point that you don't even know how to describe it anymore. But that's at that level, that's where you create an opening for the light, for the awareness, for the beingness, and for the love as well, capital L, to come through. And that is like the healing balm that our individual cut-off sense of self really needs. Because that's what's needed to dissolve all the karmic residue, to clear all the ancestral genetic conditioning that's built on a sense of survival and lack. So it's a big job, you know. So, and whether you're being triggered on a relationship level that really puts you to work to go inward and to say, okay, so I'm a very fragmented, you know, like contracted human being, and I thought I would only be happy if I got what I needed, but this relationship shows me I have work to do. Or it's you're on a path like on a business path of like trying to get some success in your life, you know, then what do? It's like you have to take a step back and allow the success to come to you. Like what I said, you don't have free will. Free will has you. You do not decide where grace goes. You can just take a step back and open to grace. So this vortex healing is a way of, I call it structured grace, you know, as it's sort of a half joke. Because what happens if you pray, you know, you see this in movies where people sit by the side of their beds on their knees and say, oh, Jesus, I just so fucked up my life. Oh, God, please help me. You know, and if they're lucky, grace just comes in. You know, and they have a peace of mind. They have some rest. They have a good night's sleep, and they start the day fresh. You know, we don't really know what happens there. But what happens is that they sort of surrender their position of trying to be in charge. And this vortex healing energy work, this facilitating of awareness, It kind of does the same thing, but it has a more guaranteed result. Because we live in a day and age where you could say that humanity sort of hit rock bottom. You know, there's this whole Hindu Ayurvedic perspective on creation as well. And they say that these days are the days of the Kali Yuga, like the darkest age. You know, it's not because we had some world wars and, you know, people are very much in their egos that this is the Kali Yuga, this is the darkest age. But somehow, if we are in the darkest age, it also creates these cracks where light comes through. These cracks, one of these cracks is the grace that comes through when we use vortex healing in a session. It was unimaginable, even 20 years ago, it was unimaginable that I would be able to, I'm not doing this personally because I'm just taking a step back and opening for the grace that comes through vortex healing. But it was unimaginable that we would be able to clear karma conditioning to the level that we are. It was unimaginable that we would be able to transform personalities, that we could clear, conditions, like diseases, to the cellular level. You know, considering that all of this is multidimensionally layered, that the conditioning that's creating physical complaints and diseases actually has roots in consciousness, you know, that go back many, many lifetimes, either from a genetic aspect or from a karmic conditional aspect. It's unimaginable that we live in this dark age where we have so much grace available to do something about it. But you know, I like the example of if I'm on a rug and I'm living on this rug for a rug, like on the floor for quite a while, you know, and of course I keep my shoes on, and you know, so it's dirty. But how do I clean it if I'm living on it? If I'm standing on it, I can't really well just clear it. So I first have to get away, step away from the rug. Now the rug is it's like my habitat, my inner reality. It's my inner landscape. It's how I believe life works. If I do not take a step back, if I keep identifying with my story, with the way I have structured my sense of reality, then there's no way for the rock to be cleaned. There's no way for grace to come in. You know, if I keep thinking that I should fix myself, then that's just more ego. That's just conditioning, positioning, reacting to itself. It's not gonna create any space. Because as I try to explain, success and wholeness and oneness and happiness and all that, all the good stuff, they're core characteristics of the foundation of creation, not stuff that you as an individual, separate human being can drive. You are the effect. You are not the cause of your life. So I think I don't want to repeat myself anymore. I said the same thing a couple times with different perspectives. So I think it's nice if maybe you, Gabriel, or anybody else has some questions about any of the things that I said, or you think it maybe resonates with you and you have a more personal question, that's also something that I would very much welcome.
Okay, thanks a lot, Patrick. We'll open for questions, and I think there will be a good number of questions. I've got the feeling. So let's just open it up either in typing in the chat, or you can speak up, right? You can unmute your phone.
All right, let's see.
How do you train to your craft? Like, I mean, maybe you had inclinations, but you know, like, how did you gain that mind opening? Like, is it like an initiation with Reiki, or does it start with you recall, or do you have to go through the healing yourself? Like, what's the path of progression and, you know, deepening into it?
Oh, thank you, Leo. Excellent question. Yes. So this vortex healing, it consists of modalities, or sorry, of modules. And there's, for example, the first training you do is a 5-day course. And it is like a healing that you go through yourself. And the core of the training, it's not what's being explained. Like right now, I gave you these very nice concepts, like just a bag of concepts. It doesn't really do anything. It doesn't transform your consciousness. It might make you more susceptible for transformation, but it doesn't really transform you in itself. So the key to vortex healing is its transmission. It's very much like an initiation with Reiki, except the transmission, it's not like a lightning bolt, like, boom, there you go. A transmission is more like a process of whether you like it or not, sort of open to grace, where you allow yourself to be pushed off the rug, where you allow yourself to sort of look inward, face your ego. And as you're facing that, you start to realize that, like, okay, so this is a ripening. I need to make space. And that transmission creates this space, whether you go along with it or not. Of course, you're there to go along with it. But being in vortex healing, it's not like a wellness treatment. It's not like, okay, so I just want to really, like, feel good and relax. It really goes to the core of you could say your mission as a human being, which is to find that core of truth and oneness deep in yourself. And of course, I have some talents in that area. You need to be able to want to dig deep. You need to, you know, like, have a sharp mind. All of that helps. You know, some psychological insights, that kind of stuff. To a certain degree, be good with people. You have to be able to sit still most of the day. That kind of arbitrary stuff as well. So there's some talent involved. But I also like to say that for me, I think I was just available to do this. I did this organizational science stuff. I got my degree. And then I'm like, what was I doing? I don't even want to do that for a job. I didn't dislike it, but I just knew it wasn't my path. And then I worked as a chef. And I went to this astrologer. So she looked through my chart and she said, you know, what do you do for a living? I said, I was very proud of this. I said, I'm a chef. I cook food. I work in different jobs. I work in restaurants. I have my own catering, etc. And she looked at me. She said, I think you can do better than that. And I was kind of, you know, insulted by that, because I very much like my job as a chef. And I identified with my story of being a chef. But then, you know, my hobby, the energy work thing, the vortex healing, it started to sort of take up more space in my life. And as soon as I recognized that and I embraced it, I put up the treatment table, one of those foldouts. I put up the treatment table. I said to my girlfriend at the time, it's now my wife. I said, okay, so now people can call. And that same day, nine times the telephone rang, nine times, which was weird because I didn't really know that many people. So I just like to say that I'm just this nut who didn't really have a plan with his life. So that makes me very available to do this. Now, of course, you know, that's just on some very spiritual level, like I'm available, whatever that means. It's not like I intended to be available. But it's just a sort of a thing of my own predispositions, because I very much live on my spiritual body. I think life is all about meeting the divine within. It's like our core mission as human beings, you know, that type of thing. So it's my predisposition. But I also feel that for wherever you are in your life, if you're more mentally oriented or very emotional, if you're an athlete, which is more like physical, doesn't really matter, because, like, at the core of everything, there's this spiritual truth that everything comes from oneness. So if you get more oneness, like you could say active in your life, then that you can help that to transform, you know, like the aspects of your personality and of your humanness that are sort of blocking your way to success, health and happiness. You know, so you could say that I feel called to do this, but I didn't hear the call for many years. So I was just moping around, just going around, just wasting my time, just being a regular human being until it sort of clicked with me, you know? And then I'm doing these sessions, and it's a paradox because I'm sitting there at the head of the table. People are laying down on the table. I just tell them to sort of just have their awareness with their breath and just breath and sort of just relax. And the paradox is this, that I have to be here for this to take place, but I'm not doing it. So I can have all the talent in the world of sort of having the awareness of following the energy. And then at the end of the session, I would give them the story of like this and that happened. And how does that relate to, what do you recognize? How does that relate to your issue or to your life? Like, what's going on? Like, what would be the homework for you to continue with this? How do you find that space that we created in the session? How do you find that in your life? You know, so, but I can sort of give them the feedback. But the paradox is that I'm not creating the space. It's not me doing that. So I'm sitting there in the chair. The energy is working. It's creating the space. And I have these protocols. Like, if I first release the choice point, I can transform the personality piece, then I can release the relevant reality streams, et cetera, et cetera. It's all very technical energy work terms. So I have these protocols. So I feel like I'm sort of doing something, but it's not me. I'm like the vehicle for this. But the vehicle is also driving, it's being driven. So I'm sort of actively engaging the energy, but it's not my energy. And at the end of the day, like now, I done six sessions today. At the end of the day, I'm sort of tired, but I'm not tired because it gives me energy, but it's not my energy that's going to the client. So there's all kinds of weird paradoxes there. So I like your question. It's a bit of talent and it's a bit of luck and it's a bit of what else is he going to do? You know, so does that answer your question?
It does. It's very interesting. I could bug you the whole evening with questions, I guess. So I'll have to get in touch with you.
Oh, that'd be great, Leo. Yes, that'd be great.
With pleasure.
Hi, Patrick.
Yes.
Yeah, so thank you for a wonderful discussion. It's very fascinating. I've been studying Buddhism for many, many years, so I really like the concept. It really resonates with me when you talk about karmic residues, etc. And then I also trained in energy healing just like as a hobby, like years ago. So very intrigued by your work, and then I definitely will be in touch. And just, you know, a quick question. You mentioned athletes in your just now, and then I wonder if you have any examples or any case studies of some sort of at the risk of sounding too result oriented, after, right? We want to be more free flowing, right? I'm trying to move away from being too result oriented with all of the study of consciousness and spirituality. I have my daughter in mind. The kind of another related question is, do you work with, kids, or she's 12, right? Teenager. And, you know, she's an athlete, right? So it's something when you mentioned athletes earlier, it kind of triggered, my question. And do you work in groups or like one-on-one and, you know, or both? And maybe some examples. And, you know, I'm very intrigued, in the scientific aspect of it, but I don't think we have time to go into the detail, but maybe just, if you can, help us with kind of paint a picture of like what happens after the transformation so that we have more of a concrete idea of what to expect or what to look forward to.
Oh yeah, well, thank you. There's a lot of questions in there. So
come back to me
if I'm not answering all of your questions. So how it looks on a practical level. Before COVID, I always used to like individual sessions, and then I would occasionally have groups in my studio, and we would do work, energy work as a group there. I would use my transmissions. I would use my tools for the group. But, you know, it's like Gabriel's work since COVID. Of course, we had to flip a switch, and we knew that it worked from a distance, but I also do groups in distant work. You could say that 90% of my work is individual, and maybe 10%, but it's just a scheduling issue. It just really depends on how I schedule it. You could say my energy toolbox, the transmissions that I use, they have a certain amount of juice. My system is very strong. So for most of the energy work, it really depends on what we're trying to do. But for some of the work, I could do like a dozen people at the same time. For other things, as much as up to 50 people at the same time without losing effectiveness. So, and yes, I work with kids. There is a disadvantage to working with kids younger than 7 because they haven't really fully come in yet. It's like up to the age of 6 or 7, it's like they're still coming, they're busy coming into their physical manifestation. They're not fully incarnated, you could say. It's almost like a zero. If you look into a baby's eyes, it's like this infinite ocean. Right. But then if you look at a kid, like, I don't know, like a teenager, it's just like a regular human being, you know? It's like very well defined. Like, here is me, my personality. Here am I.
We're already boxed in by that age.
Yeah. And it's like a zipper. At the age of 6 or 7, it's like the zipper goes all the way up and it's closed. Then it's sort of well defined. So especially working with genetic conditioning before the age of 7, it's more difficult. Now, there is an advantage of working with kids because they haven't built up the density and we confirm our egoistic patterns every day that we live. Children, of course, they had less experience, less practice.
Baggages.
Less baggage, yeah. But they also have less awareness of their issues. So it cuts both ways, you know? It's less awareness, but also less density. And the other thing is, which is interesting to mention, is that, yes, we can, through vortex healing, use grace to clear karma conditioning, we can clear genetic conditioning, and at the same time, we cannot take away your karmic lesson. So I like to distinguish I like to distinguish between the charge and the lesson. Like all this baggage, all this charge, all this density, that's just the load. And we don't really have to work our way through the load. All we have to do is basically unlearn the lesson. Now, if you bring your awareness to the charge, there's a lot of suffering there. If you bring your awareness to the lesson, then it has all this, I know, like this promise of ripeness and awakening and truth in it, because it's fine to unlearn something. It's fine to learn something. It's just all this suffering, you know. You as a Buddhist would really like the idea that suffering.
I love your point. Love this point, because one of my other questions that I didn't ask, I was a little bit hesitating, was when you talk about clear the, you know, the karmic residues. And then part of me was wondering, so, well, is it cheating? Like, we're supposed to learn the lesson. I was like, okay, let's take a shortcut, right? Just get around with it, right? There's some part of me who was objecting to that idea, but you gave a excellent, distinction. I really love that point, right? It just learned, you know, we're just foregoing the suffering, but we're not foregoing the lesson itself, because that would defeat the purpose of taking on this human form in this lifetime, right? So it just, you know, learn the lesson minus the unnecessary suffering.
I can give you, yes, I can give you another example of that, which is more practical. This vortex healing, it has many aspects. I can also, for example, work on viruses and bacteria. Now, if I work on a virus, I cannot clear that virus 100%. I can clear it, let's say 99.9%. So the residue of that can actually be recognized by the immune system, and the immune system will learn its lesson. It's the same mechanism. So I'm not taking away the lesson that the immune system can learn.
Great. I cannot clear something 100%.
Yeah, it's very cool stuff. And about this what I mentioned about athletes and people who are more emotional or more mental or more spiritual, there is something you could say like an evolutional path. If a person identifies him or herself with her physical form, with her body, that's like a very primal level of self-identity. If you let go of these people, they spend a lot of time in front of the mirror usually. You know, not a lot of people have that anymore. And if you let go of that, you can sort of evolve to the level where you identify with your emotional field. You know, I am my anger. I am my grief. I am my loneliness. You know, and if you sort of, it's like the next step. If you evolve out of that, you will identify with what you're thinking. I am my thoughts. I think, therefore I exist. So that's, in one sense, these are steps on an evolutional path. But another aspect of the whole distinction between physical, emotional, mental, etc., is that everybody has an energetic body home. Some people are just very mental. They like living in the mental body. It gives order to their lives. And my predisposition is to live in the spiritual body. So I like looking at life from like sort of an abstract distance in a way. You know, and people who are very much home in their emotional body, they feel that they're living if they're in this emotional roller coaster. You know, so everybody has a different energetic body home. One is not better than the other, but it is where you identify, where you keep yourself stuck. So if I would identify myself as a spiritual being and not really take off the blinders, I would just keep myself stuck. I would be setting myself up for meeting all kinds of like physical and emotional and mental and relational challenges in my life just because I would keep myself stuck. Life would challenge me. And the same goes for everybody else. If you're stuck in a physical box, then life is going to challenge the box, you know. And, you know, really varies. I think everybody lives in their own universe. Everybody has their own challenges. And everybody has a unique story to unravel. You know, this is what's so fascinating. My wife always says, I don't know how you do it. I don't know. How can you sit on a chair with your eyes closed and just do nothing all day? I said, I'm not doing nothing. It's like watching TV, except 3D. It's like unique stories unfolding in front of me. And I feel like I'm sort of one with the story, and it's the transformations taking place at the same time. It's like it's never boring, because the way consciousness manifests through each and every one of us is completely unique. You know, it's the same issues, but in a completely unique configuration, it's a.
Thank you so much, Patrick. You more than answered my questions.
Okay, thank you.
I'll definitely be in touch. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. Like something we'd love to learn. How can we learn those things?
You could say that every day is like an open invitation to become self-aware. And then, you know, you just make a list of your issues, and then you just bring them to the session, and then we clear the charges. You know, that's basically how it works. And it could be a surprise. I like to give the example of a woman. She was Dutch, but she was from the Dutch Antilles, which is like in the Caribbean, islands in the Caribbean. She was from there. She moved here, when she was a teenager or something. So she came to me with a complaint. It was a physical complaint. She had eczema, like itching skins and like red, and it was, she couldn't sleep. And so her question was like, what's going on with the eczema? I can't sleep. I want to scratch all day. I'm feeling miserable. I tried all kinds of medicines. So what's going on? I said, well, I don't know. Let's see. So I sit there, she lays on the table, and I just let the energy do its work. And as soon as the energy starts to work, there's this sort of this merging. My awareness sort of becomes one with the consciousness because I'm just tracking the energy. And I could have this model of reality, you know, eczema, or that has to do with the liver or the kidneys, depending on what kind of eczema that it is. Or I could just sort of be open, surrender to not knowing, and just follow the energy working on the cause of the eczema. Now, the cause of the eczema was actually anxiety, which had to do with a homesickness that was emotionally disturbing her because she missed, she didn't feel at home here in the Netherlands. She didn't feel like she belonged here. She missed the Dutch Antilles Islands. She just was homesick. And as soon as I mentioned that, I was, you know, it was intriguing, but I was sort of surprised by it as well, because I never had a client before that had a connection between like eczema, like a skin issue, and homesickness. But as soon as I expressed it after the session, as soon as I put words to it, she immediately recognized it. And she came back like a month later and the eczema was gone. Just out of her, she didn't have to go back. She didn't have to change her life. She just had to bring her awareness to, like, the, you could say, like, the issue, you know? So it's sort of a magic thing, really, where you can change reality just by bringing your awareness to things. It's not that I just have an energy gun and I take out the big laser and I shoot your issue down and I kill it, you know, because we want to get in our lives what we want. You know, you don't get to decide what you want. It's just more that the issues are there for you to become aware of so you can ripen through and out of them, you know? And that's kind of like a spiritual self-realization as well. It's like you wake up to, you could say, true self, which is a non-sense of self. It's not a personal sense of self. But you wake up to reality by seeing through the shape of your karmic you. You wake up through seeing through the shape of your genetic you. And there's no other you there, but, you know, it's good to not be stuck in a box. I think we have a couple more minutes. Does anybody else have another question, yep, maybe?
Hi, Peter. I had a quick question I was wondering. Thank you so much. This has been fantastic. The question I had for you is, could you talk a little, maybe spend a minute or two describing like what a session is like even like, I guess, distance sessions, because that's probably what we would all be involved in.
Probably, yeah. So session is where I don't use Zoom, but I use Whereby, which is a privacy secure, much like Zoom, video chat application. After we connect, the connecting is not just to understand each other on a human communicational level. It's also for bridging. It's for my awareness to sort of get a feel for what's going on. And not just what's going on like in the day. Oh, I had a rough day. Oh, I had a great day. It doesn't really matter. Because we usually very quickly go to the issue at hand. Like something particular you want to work on. So you bring it to the table. So you just mentioned what you want to work on. We give it some, we really want to have a clear understanding of what we're working with. It could be as vague as, what was my last session about? It could be as vague as, I have eczema. I don't know what's going on there. But so the invitation in the session for you would be to just have your awareness with your breath, stay calm, and have the awareness that the energy is working on your eczema, or at least on what's causing your eczema. That's your invitation. Then we close the video chat. I usually like to sit at the head of the table and pretend that you are on my treatment table. I sort of work through the vital web where all of life is one, and the energy doesn't go from me here in this part of the world all the way like internet travel to where you are and it pops up there. No, it instantly manifests directly from the divine to where you are, to where the issue is. But because my awareness is sort of bridged into where you are, it feels like it's right here, like it's happening right in front of me. So that's how I get a sense of that. The energy work is usually between 45 minutes and an hour and 15. And I don't expect you to like be in a meditative state the whole time. You can just, you know, easily pop out to pee or get a glass of water or something. Maybe even to go out, have a walk if we're not working on something that needs your specific awareness. So it really depends, you know. And after the session, what I like to do is just write some feedback in an email. That's usually what I like to do. Now, you're never there with just the one session. This example of the woman who had the eczema, it's an exception because usually it's very process oriented. What you want is to just say yes to the process of inner awareness, basically uncovering your true self, clearing out your karma conditioning, working on the genetic conditioning as far as that applies. So usually it works in batches of 5 sessions, I think it is. And then we just schedule in 5 sessions. And sometimes I've worked with clients where it's not immediately clear what we're supposed to work on. It could take up to like several months. And then something just suddenly emerges. Like we did some bit of this, we did a bit of that. But sometimes it takes a while for it to become clear. Like, why has this work found you? Like, what have you come to clear? Like, it's not immediately clear because it's not my brain deciding. It's not your like wish list deciding what we're working on. It's something deeper. It's like the intelligence of your life sort of coming to a point in evolution where it says, okay, now I'm ready to start unraveling, like peeling off the layers of like false self and ego stuff and all of that, you know? So that's usually, it's like a whole process that's involved. For example, with Gabriel, I've never felt, you won't mind me explaining this, Gabriel. I've never felt with him that we had to look for stuff. You know, I've never felt for myself that I had to, if I do sessions on myself, which is also a thing I can do, I've never felt I had to look for something to work on. Now, some things are just very arbitrary, not that important, not that big of a deal. They go down the list. But, you know, some things are just so evidently clear that, God, has this been here all my life? And I only now have enough awareness in it to work on it, you know? It's magic how this stuff works. Because sometimes you get more gifts and presents than you bargain for. You know, it gives you more than you realize. You know?
Thank you.
Does that give you an idea of how it practically works?
Yep, it does. Thank you.
Okay, good.
About how much time would there be between sessions for a multiple session group? Like 1 week, 1 month, something different?
So it really depends. If someone is very much like, I'm working now with this woman in the, where is she? I think Vancouver, and she had MS, which is a virus. So I cleared the virus, and now her energy system is still in this very contracted, depleted state. Now there's not a lot of consciousness work involved there. There's not a lot of processing. There's not a lot of awareness that has to be like deepened into particular issues yet. So we're at the stage of where her energy system needs to be strengthened. It needs to be transformed. It needs to be cleared. The energy needs to be brought up, you know, like her constitutional energy, her organ energy and her pathways. They all need to go from a 2 to a 10. You know, it's like working on the car. It's not working on the driver yet. So if in a situation like that, we're scheduling sessions, we can much more easily schedule a session once a week. But if we're scheduling energy work that's very much aimed at your positions, your beliefs, your obstacles in consciousness, if we're working on karmic charges, then especially in the beginning, it's quite there's a lot of processing going on. It's quite smart to just have a couple of weeks or a month between sessions.
That's great, Patrick. Thank you very much.
We need to finish. I think it was really fantastic. I mean, I always get feedback once the call is over, and we might have another session with you, maybe a practical session, because we are all traders, right? I mean, we are a homogeneous group, and I don't know what you think, but maybe we could have a practical session where you work on the group, and we could come up with some typical issues, right, that the traders face.
Yeah,
and hand it over to you, maybe for, I don't know, a short session, half an hour. Well, we'll talk about it. That's an idea we could do.
That is something that would work. Yes. How many are we? So there's 19 participants now, right? So there will be 18 people in a group. I'm counting you as well. So that would work for particular protocols. That would work. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So if any of you people have any specific questions or maybe some more personal stuff, then don't hesitate to contact me through Gabriel. He knows how to find me. And I'm happy to get back to you on anything related to this.
Yeah, thanks a
lot. So it's the beginning of my evening, and I hope all you people have a beautiful rest of the day.
Thank you, too, Patrick. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patrick.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers, guys. Good evening.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.